The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
You are listening to the one and only Bastards of Boston Baseball. The Red Sox never cease to disgrace themselves with how they think they need to build a roster. And we are getting into plenty of that tonight. I am Terry Cushman, joined tonight by Jeremy Schilling, Doug Aitchison. How are you, gentlemen?
I'm good.
Feeling good.
It's still football season, but I'll be ready Monday afternoon for pitchers and catchers next week. So.
You know, I'm pretty sure I've pointed this out on the podcast, but you know, somehow Bob Kraft in the Patriots front office managed to do their whole rebuild faster than John Henry could.
It's amazing what happens when you make decisions to actually try to win games.
Yeah.
When you make impactful signings at spots in your roster that have holes and you put money into those positions, it's amazing what happens.
Right.
And I'm jealous they have a new coach too, you know, that's kind of probably made a big impact.
Definitely.
Huge.
Yeah.
But it's different in football. There's no bigger impact from the sideline to the field than in football. Yeah. So they just announced that the offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, wins offensive or assistant of the year. Yeah. You bring in the head coach and it's so impactful in football. In baseball with Cora, and I'm a Cora guy still, although coming back towards the middle, it's more about the atmosphere in the clubhouse and in-game decisions. And it's really more of a player's determining the game, although obviously the players determine football, but I get your point, Terry.
Yeah, Cora really lost me last year with his management of the kids, you know, platooning them and all that. But we'll get into that as the season goes. The other thing, we've got Platoon Dynasty on steroids this year by the way it looks, but we'll get into it. Before we do kick it into the Isaiah Kiner-Falefa signing, I was just thinking to myself, kind of facetiously, I guess, maybe we should have just signed another player from the 2013 team to be the GM, you know? What would Johnny Gomes do with all this money? Like, I'm pretty
He'd
sure
be writing blank checks, baby.
Hell yeah.
I'm pretty sure his negotiation skills would be better, you know, in terms of closing on either trades or free agency.
Yeah. What would happen there with Johnny Gomes is the Sox would make an offer, the agent would make an offer, and then they'd have to wrestle Johnny Gomes, and the winner gets their deal. That's how that would go. That guy is crazy.
Yeah, I was a big fan. He's, I know I bag on the Platoon Dynasty, but man, what a great platoon guy with Daniel Nava. That
I like Johnny Gomes as a Red Sox, as a Royal the year they won it. He was on the Royals, right? Is my memory correct?
I believe so.
He was so annoying. So as on my team, I liked him. The minute he was on another team, I found him obnoxious, and like the shtick was just had run dry with me.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed him. One of the great late inning pinch hitters too. How many go ahead home runs did he hit that year? At least three or four.
He was a big factor.
Huge.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so somehow we went from Alex Bregman to Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, IKF for short. You know, and he's been kind of a journeyman type guy, played for the Blue Jays last year. I think he was with the Yankees for a year or two, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So he's no stranger to the American League East. But, we lost Doug. Oh, he's back. There he is. Doug playing a magic act on us.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, so you know, I guess the theory here is defense. He'll improve that a little bit. He was his defensive WAR last year was 0.1. So not like he's average.
That's the mindset. That's crazy.
He's average. I guess he had at second base something like 5 or 6 defensive runs saved, but he only beats 43% of the league in outs above average, which apparently is a big metric for the nerds when it comes to defense. But so I guess you can interpret how good he is defensively in a few different ways. I mean, is he going to be an absolute blunder that Christian Campbell was last year with negative 17 defensive runs saved? No, absolutely not. But where's the power going to come from?
I mean, Anthony, I think they've resigned themselves to pitching and defense here and on base percentage. That's the formula. It's like, it's not often that there's a signing or a trade or a move that you can see like set something else up, or this is where you plug him in, or here's a role that we can envision. I don't get this move at all. For a team that doesn't want to spend $6 million on an average defensive player and a below average offensive player with no pop, it's just, I don't know how to analyze this. It makes no sense. So one thing we know for sure is that we're not going to get a right-handed bat. Obviously, there's no free agents left, but we're not going to trade for anybody at this point. And so I know, Terry, you joke about it, but it's very real. There's going to be multiple platoons at multiple spots on a team that at least pitching-wise is set up in a young core and should be set up to compete. And I think it's what's going to hold us back. There's another side of this whole thing, and that is that I believe that by the deadline, the Red Sox will again be under the second threshold. And I know they did it last year with the Devers. We just watched, for people that are basketball fans, we just watched the Celtics literally give away 3 players to get under the tax apron. And what I know about Henry, what I know about the goals of this organization at the end of the day, because it's more about money than it is about winning, unfortunately, is these players that they're amassing 1-year deals on, or a big contract. I mean, if somebody says something and they can justify there's a clubhouse issue, just like they did with Devers, they're going to move on from a big contract. This is not a team that's taking winning seriously. Or, and here's the alternative, and then I'll turn it over to you guys. They did, and they executed on their plan at such a terrible level that they're just left scrambling for a body to put in the 40-man and be available at key spots. And that, if that's real, that's even more pathetic than not trying to win.
Yeah, I agree. They're just trying to fill spots now with just anyone, it seems like. And, you know, they're not even worrying about how he fits, you know. And it's like maybe an overcorrection with the fielding. They know they're not, you know, they know that they don't have anyone that is actually a good fielder right now in the infield. And, you know, but it's just a guy that seems like he's just going to have an absolute non-factor in this season at all, right? He's going to be platooning, but he just seems like a signing that's just going to get forgotten. You know, maybe he gets moved in another move, in another trade. I agree, Jeremy, they're probably going to move to get under the apron, right? To get under the tax. And it's just, I've said a lot on here that I still, you know, I don't hate this roster, and I think we're still, you know, a good team, but it's just, that can also, like, Breslow can be bad and this front office can be horrible, and both things can be true, right? And we have good pitching staff, but, you know, we have some pitchers like Bayo that rely on defense behind him. He's not going to strike out a lot of guys. And, you know, that was our problem last year. Our two problems last year, you know, fielding and home runs, and they haven't done anything to fill those two spots. You know, and every move that they've made is just a sideways move, if not a down move like this one. So it's just, you know, it's just, you think it's going to get better, and it's just, they just keep disappointing.
looking at his Savant chart here, what percentage of the league has higher exit velocity than him?
Best 98.5%.
Yeah.
I looked at the chart that when you sent it in the war room, but I don't remember the exact number. My guess is 98.5%.
It's 99%.
Yeah, I will.
Not exaggerating. 99% of the league hits the baseball harder than Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Bat speed, 98% of the league has faster bat speed than IKF.
Which is helpful in a league full of guys that can throw 100 miles an hour, by the way, but go on.
Right.
98% of the league has a higher walk rate than IKF. This is a trash signing.
Trash.
It is a trash signing.
Makes no sense.
And the other thing, too, is, and I don't know what to believe, but earlier today they said the Red Sox are still in on Isaac Paredes. Now, normally I'd roll my eyes and say probably not, but it's been such an erratic offseason. Maybe it is true. I didn't expect Ranger Suarez, for instance, at that time. And so if we're still after Isaac Paredes, why are we spending $6 million on a trash baseball bat with barely above average defense? I don't get it. And let's say, okay, you do get Isaac Paredes. When are you going to play Marcelo Meyer? Like, how does he fit now?
Well, this could be a product of his injury history. I mean, it could be a depth piece that is there and he's going to play. I would assume he's going to be on the big league club and he's going to make the team at $6 million a year. And it's just one of the, he may not play a lot, but with Story's injury history, Marcelo Meyer's injury history, I mean, that whole left side of the infield is going to be, at any moment it could turn quickly and maybe he's the insurance. Now, I do want to say one thing. I literally called on the very first recording that I was on. I know I'm not the only one. With regards to the roster in 2026, that Meyer would be our third baseman. I never took any of these other options seriously. And I don't believe for a second that the Red Sox had an intention to bring these guys back. Or if they quote, had an intention like Bregman, they were going to get outbid and they were going to be okay with it.
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, not that I wouldn't have, you know, wanted someone else, but as it is right now, I would want Meyer to, you know, start the season.
Yeah, I mean, he has to at this point.
Right. There's no one else. And but I do like starting young guys. I like getting them in there and seeing, you know, you got to do it sooner or later.
That they're naturally there to play. Meyer is not a third baseman.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that.
He won't be there in 2 years. That's the thing.
Right.
It's a Band-Aid for this
year.
No,
I totally agree with that.
This is the first year we should be competing for a World Series. The core is here. They're all paid. Your pitching staff is absolutely loaded. And I'll give credit to Breslow, and I will give a moderate, tiny, weensy bit to Henry for spending the money. But the pitching is not just great. It's deep. And so it makes no sense to build that part of your roster and then have your position players have multiple holes. Anyways, I'll stop. Drives me nuts. Because this is a year we should be talking about being one of the top three or four World Series contender by odds in Vegas, which is, you know, how I follow these things. And we're not going to be because we are not going to score runs. If they're not constantly putting people on base and creating havoc, we're going to get shut out a lot.
Two things. Number one, Marcelo Meyer is your best defender in the infield. So if defense is so important, you can make the argument, who cares if he's not hitting well against lefties? His glove is gonna improve the defense. So when ground ball guys like Sonny Gray, Ranger Suarez are on the mound.
Bayo,
he's a ground ball guy. Yeah. Meyer can keep the ball in the infield for the most part. And I like him at third too, because I think it's a little bit less wear and tear. You know, it's a simpler spot. And, you know, you may as well
better arm than Story. So
you may as well put him there. He can go to short when Story's time is up, whether that's a trade or after the strike year. But so that was number one. What was number two? I didn't mean to go off on a tangent on that one.
You think if Story gets hurt, they would move Maya to short and play IKF at third?
I think
they would play him at short, like keep him and play IKF at short.
Your best up the middle defense would be some form of Mayer and Rafaela in the infield. You know, I just think that's your best, at least middle infield defensive combo, not both range and, you know, how athletic Rafaela is. That's my opinion. I don't think you can take him out of center field because he happens to be a gold glove caliber center fielder that covers an insane amount of ground.
Right. I know he's the best center fielder in the league, but it seems like our best hitting lineup would be with him at second.
And here's another thing. Well, I'll start with a question. Do you guys really believe that Willie Abreu is going to face lefties all year? I mean, that's the plan right now. At face value, that's what they're saying. But May 15th, is that going to be the case?
Well, who's the right-handed outfielder right now?
Rafaela.
So Ref Schneider's gone, and it's a confusing. It's confusing because I think he got $6 million from Seattle, about that, which is what you just gave Kiner Falefa.
Yeah,
I mean it doesn't make logical sense. So now we have a hole in the fourth outfield spot, probably because you planned to trade one of the outfield, but you never did. And so now we don't have someone to platoon with Abreu. So it seems like he's going to have to hit against left-handed pitching.
I want to believe it because I want to see it.
Well, Nate Eaton is going to get the.
I'm a Nate Eaton guy. I love his athleticism. He's kind of the Swiss Army knife all over the field. I don't know what he's going to look like with extended at bats. So. And look, the bad thing is last year was the year to figure it out because you weren't a contender. We got in the playoffs. That's great. We arrived. The young core came up. But last year was the year to let these guys sink or swim against lefties. So Mayer and Abreu should have had 150 more at-bats against lefties pending health. Now the pitching's there. The core's up. They have experience. They've played in a playoff series. And now they're in a position based on the inconsistent roster development to be basically maybe forced to hit against lefties. And if they're not hitting, they shouldn't be playing. And they're probably going to have to go through some bumps because of the way this thing's built.
I'm just trying to, if you look at the roster like a puzzle right now, just so many pieces don't fit. Either Duran or Rafaela doesn't have a spot in the outfield if Abreu is playing every day.
Yeah.
There's no spot for Christian Campbell. That contract is an albatross at this point because you've got no place to put him. And he's a righty. He's a righty. So you have a lot of incentive to try to make that work, and there's no way to do it.
Yeah. Christian, I think his biggest problem is what position is he?
Well, I think he's an outfielder.
I think
he's an outfielder.
I do too.
So
he hits. Who cares? But the problem is, I don't think he's ready to be that productive at the big league level. I think it's too easy to get him out inside.
I mean, they totally tore down his swing, and it didn't. He wasn't terrible in winter ball, but he wasn't crushing it either. I don't know what spring training is going to do. And I mean, you have no choice but to send him to Worcester anyway. So that's what's going to happen. But there should be a plan for him. He should be in 2026 an everyday bat in that lineup. But I don't know how you do that. I don't know how it happens. Tristan Casas is not going to be ready until at least May. No real shock there. There's no place to put him anyway. But eventually you have to put him somewhere for however long he manages to stay healthy. Oh, he'll start in Worcester. He absolutely will. But yeah, so I'm probably missing another player or two in there. Romy is a decent second baseman. He's probably not as good as IKF, but he's a million times better at the plate. I mean, he was almost a 300 hitter last year.
Yeah.
And the home runs kind of evaporated once the league figured out the Red Sox were utilizing the tablets. And again, that was all legal, but apparently the Red Sox were doing it better. And all the pitching staffs were far more vigilant against this roster, after, early August. So you didn't really see many home runs from Romy, but he was still punching the ball through the gaps, giving you productive at-bats, plating the base runners. So I just that makes the IKF move another head scratcher. And here's the thing I was trying to get to earlier. This whole front office outside of Breslow has been there for at least three of the four championships, and I think a lot of them have been here for all four. And I don't know how they just sit there and see these erratic moves and go, this guy's not a moron. How can they think this guy? Oh, this guy knows what he's doing. I don't get it.
I mean, I want to get back to your puzzle analogy, but you wonder in moves like this, if he's listening to the support, to the scouts, to the people that are there to give him the data and the information, and to be the type of person that says no to their leader. And because this screams to me like he's either isolating himself from the support staff or no one's saying no. And both things are very scary, because when you have good, well-built organizations, you could put different opinions in a room and critically think through them and make the best decision for the organization. With this move, it doesn't feel like that's happened.
Yeah.
And totally getting back to your puzzle, I loved your analogy, by the way, Terry. This is a jigsaw puzzle with a bunch of pieces that just don't match. Getting back to your platoon dynasty, if Abreu is going to platoon with Eaton, you have a platoon in right field, you have a platoon at second with probably Hamilton and Romy, and you have a platoon at third with IKF and Meyer, and then you always have the catching things, not necessarily a platoon. You just can't play a catcher every day, but four of your positions are platoon dynasties. I mean, if that doesn't scream how poorly this part of the roster has been put together, I don't know how else to explain it. That is ridiculous. And not to mention, that doesn't even account for the DH issue, because Yoshida's still on the roster. And so even if Cassis goes down to Worcester and hits 380 and in the first month of rehab, he hits 12 home runs and you want to bring him up, where does he play? What are you going to do? You're not going to eat the Yoshida money. You're a year away from that. Duran's still on the team. He needs at-bats. Roman Anthony's going to get more at-bats than anybody on the team. I'm honestly just lost as to what they're doing here.
Seems like Breslow only knows about pitching.
Fair point.
Or maybe it's all he cares about. I don't know.
That's an excellent point, actually. And I think Alex Cora is comfortable with the platoon dynasty. I think it makes him feel smart. It validates him as one of those managers that likes to mix and match, but I don't think it's going to play. I don't think it's going to play in this division. The Orioles got more explosive over the winter. Yankees brought back Bellinger. The Blue Jays, added. And we're not a complete team, and we're flirting with the second luxury tax threshold. You should have a very streamlined roster at that point. And one of my fears is that we're going to need to do a rebuild from the rebuild. I mean, you've already killed Meyer's value for now. You've absolutely obliterated Christian Campbell's value. We don't have a big three anymore. We have a big number one, and that's Roman Anthony. That's all you've got.
People that don't have value, Terry, to your point, Cassis has absolutely no value. Marcelo Mayer has some value, but it's suppressed. Christian Campbell, no value. Yoshida, no value. They're overvaluing Duran. Like it's crazy. To your point, to have a team that's over the second luxury threshold and to have that many players that you can't move for anything of value is just crazy.
Yeah, and the other thing about Abreu that concerns me is he does disappear at times, even when he's only facing lefties. He'll have a brutal 3-for-36 streak or something.
Who? Abreu?
Abreu. Yeah. Yeah. So now you want to add lefties into that, you know, because he only faces righties. I think I misspoke a minute ago.
You did. You flipped it.
So I just feel like you could destroy his value. Like I'm resigned now to the idea that he's going to have to be a platoon guy because of the way he was managed. If you know, 2023 was a wasted year, but it would have been a perfect year to develop him into an all-around hitter. And so I feel like you have to platoon him, and I'm fine with him being Jock Peterson 2.0 at this point. You're just going to lose a lot of games watching him strand base runners while he tries to figure out lefties, and I don't think he will. So, and I think the leash is going to be short on him. I think they'll give it 6 or 8 weeks, and then he's going to get platooned. Nate Eaton, somebody has to platoon with Yoshida as well. You know, Yoshida can't hit lefties. He's still going to – I know Cora's hyping him up, saying, you know, he's healthy now, and he's going to – you know, he's going to have a big year, but he's going to still be dribbling the ball to second base, you know, in streaks. And, you know, facing lefties isn't really a good idea there either. So it's just a mess. And there was so much housekeeping to do when this season started. You know, you needed to trade an outfielder. You needed to trade Duran or Abreu. I would have been fine either way, but one of them had to go. Breslow values both of them, you know, well and above what their value actually is. And now it's just a bigger mess. It's just a bigger mess now. So I really believe, you know, if we're not in it, you know, by early August, I think this could be it. This could be it for Breslow. And it could be it for Cora too.
I disagree with the Breslow part. I think Breslow's done a great job from John Henry's perspective. I think he's moving the Devers contract, getting some of these younger players to sign away their arbitration eligible years and their initial free agent years. So if you're right on guys like Rafaela and Anthony, you're going to save a substantial amount of money by those deals. Obviously the Campbell deal doesn't look great, but I don't necessarily believe that Breslow's at any risk. I think the guy that they're going to scapegoat is frankly Cora.
Well, he'll have, if I'm right about Breslow, he'll have to go. No executive's going to take a job, you know, and have to keep Cora, a guy who has far too much influence. I think that's going to be a mandate for someone taking the job. But I just look at the moves. Like, we needed Ranger Suarez, don't get me wrong, but we needed him instead of Sonny Gray. And I just think from an optics standpoint, there's going to be so much failure on this roster this year. I don't know how Breslow survives the optics. Like, so Ken Rosenthal just this morning is like, the Red Sox have to still make a move even after IKF. And I don't think they will.
I think they're done.
Yeah. Do you think, like, if one goes, they'll send them both?
I think Cora could probably finish out the year. And, you know, it's a weird situation because let's say I'm right. And they do get rid of Breslow. Is this his fourth season? 24-5. No, it's his third season.
Yeah.
You know, the new guy would come in and have what, a month of work, and then probably nothing for a year if there's a strike.
Yeah.
So,
like, you said, like, if a new GM came in, they probably wouldn't want Cora.
Yeah.
If a new coach came in, would they want Breslow?
Well, probably. I mean, if they're smart, they wouldn't. But I think in that
case, would a coach want that job more? Is what I'm saying. Like, if Breslow's still the GM, would you be getting coaches knocking on the door?
If they're making $2 to $5 million a year, I think they're going to take the job.
Yeah, there's always someone that will. Yeah.
So
candidates are
going to be looking. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could just go with a safe guy. I mean, you could go with a David Ross type guy, or you could go with an older guy. I always like Buck Showalter. I just think he's good for fundamentals and all that. A Joe Maddon or Joe Girardi type guy, I think they've kind of aged out. But I think Showalter is one of those old guys that can still, command a clubhouse and balance the personalities. But those are just a couple examples. Did Skip Schumacher get hired as a manager? I want to say he did. I think he went to the Rangers, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe.
I think they fired Bochy and went with Schumacher. But he would have been a guy I would have been interested in, and he fits the younger mold as well. But, I think any of those guys would be fine. But, I spoke in a bunch of us at length about Derek Falvey, and I think he would be a great choice. You know, he wasn't in my top three last time around, but I think he would have been good. I mean, built a great pitching program there, good farm system. He didn't really have the resources for free agency like some of our executives have had, but I don't know. But just everything, nothing makes sense. And I'm glad we signed Suarez, but man, that Sonny Gray deal, that $20 million is hurting us right now. If you don't trade for Sonny Gray, that's your Bregman money. And I didn't get, don't get me wrong, I'm glad we didn't get Bregman exactly, but you just would have had so many more resources there. And he's building this roster like a first time fantasy baseball player. That's what's happening. That's the erraticness. And I don't know what to do. You guys got some final thoughts?
One thing on Abreu is with him platooning and wanting him against lefties. It's like with the defense thing, don't we want him in there out there every day? Anyway, whether it's a lefty or righty on the mound, I mean, he's the best right fielder in the league.
I don't think we're terrible.
I think it'd be different if he was a shortstop. But
yeah, that's fair. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have a single bad outfielder, really. Duran's the worst you have, and I think he's adequate. And I think he'll be better than last year. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about it. I mean, he does have a great glove. He's probably got the best arm of anyone out there. He can gun down players at the plate. Not quite like Hunter Renfroe did, but or Bradley, but still a very good arm. Like, base runners respect him.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll see. But all right, Justin wants to hear our Super Bowl picks.
Come on.
I mean... This might be the most biased Super Bowl selection of all time. I'll give you a score.
Yeah.
I'll give you a score. I think it's going to be 23-20 Pats.
I like that. I like that. I was thinking a low score like that. I was thinking 24-17 Pats. I do like a defensive touchdown for the Pats in this game. That's my bet.
Terry, what's your pick here, pal?
I am going to say 27-20 Seahawks.
I knew it.
Bastard.
I knew it. I don't even know if you believe that.
I have no idea. No idea. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't even 100% positive it was the Seahawks. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's the Seahawks playing it, but I'm just not a football guy. I'm super fair weather. But all right, we're going to wrap on that. I can't imagine we'll be back. But you know what? We probably won't even record Sunday due to the Super Bowl. So we'll probably be back Monday or Tuesday. Count on that. Everybody enjoy the weekend. Don't be stupid Super Bowl night. If you're going to get wasted, get an Uber. And don't puke in the Uber either. I do I Uber drive, you know, maybe, I don't know, two or three nights a month. So, you know, think of us. Everyone, have a good one.